Over here at the 11th chapter in the book of St. John, beginning at the first verse, let's read just a little bit. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and come unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, and saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You know, there's a lot here to consider. We here at Bethlehem and in different places around the country, we feel like that if we could see so great things, that we would be great believers. And that's all we need to stir up our faith and make great believers out of us. But you see, seeing great things doth not make a believer. The Bible tells us that we believe to see. It is obvious here that these people that saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, numbers of them did not believe. They went their way to cause trouble and to cause problems. They did not yield to become a believer nor to become a follower of Christ, but rather a troublemaker. So then it would not matter what you've done if a man is not preordained to that faith of God, he will not believe. The Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed as Paul preached the gospel. So then, it is like Abraham said to the rich man, when he said, let somebody from the dead go back and tell them. Let somebody warn them that they don't come here. And he said to the rich man, though one should raise up from the dead, they would not believe him. Said they have the law and they have the prophets. And if they will not believe the preacher, that's what he was saying, they won't believe one, though he rose from the dead. If a man rose from the dead, I've made the statement concerning this, and I still believe it, that if he rose from the dead and he came here tonight, and he would say to you, I have risen from the dead and I am here to help you, you would reason in your mind and say, now that fellow has had a brainstorm. He thinks he's died and come back from the dead. So you would think it away. The world would talk it away. They wouldn't believe it because look at me tonight. I have risen from the dead and I'm here tonight. And how many of you believe it? How many of you believe it? Even in Monroe, how many believes it? So then, to come back from the dead, he said it would not make any difference because they have the law and they have the prophets. And though one rose from the dead, they would not believe that. All right, so then we see a great thing taking place here. And there's one thing that's really outstanding in the 11th chapter. It says here, when Martha came over to Jesus, you find a saying here, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now I want you to listen to that real close. The 32nd verse, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Here is both of them. Their testimonies are the same. The testimony of Martha is, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mary comes right along. Her testimony is the same. Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. But then Jesus trying to make them to understand. You know, this is the thing that I want you to do. I want you to understand how wonderful it is to be able to understand. The Bible said, with wisdom, get understanding. Amen. You may go to school, you may get knowledge, you may learn, you may come into wisdom, but if you do not understand, it will not profit you anything. For the Bible doesn't say that the wicked won't learn wisdom, but it said that the wicked will not understand, but the righteous shall understand. So then we see that God has put a difference, or he hath drawn a line between the righteous and the wicked, having put, as we've used the terms many times, a firmament
dividing the waters from the waters. And so then the wicked cannot understand, but the righteous can understand. The Lord said to Mary, now, and to Martha, he said, didn't I say to you that if thou couldest believe, that you would see the glory of God? Now, isn't that right? The Bible said when Jesus was transfigured up on the mount that they saw his glory. And it teaches that when they awoke, they saw his glory. When we come out of the deep sleep of death, when we cast off the old spirit of iniquity, get away from darkness and human reasoning, then we leave off with that thing, Jesus, if thou hadst been here, such and such would have happened. Why should we take the attitude, Lord, if thou hadst been here, see, here he is. Why should Martha take the outlook, Lord, if thou hadst been here? Or why should Mary take the outlook, Lord, if thou hadst been here? See, why should they take that outlook? Because here he stands. It's not a matter, Lord, if thou hadst been here. But the thing is, Jesus said, I am here, Martha. It doesn't make any difference because I wasn't here day before yesterday. What's that got to do with it? I am here. Don't you believe, Mary? Don't you believe, Martha? Didn't I say if thou should believe that you would see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that? Why is it that you say, Lord, if you had have been here, my brother would not have died? Why do you say that? Or Martha, why do you say that? Mary, why do you say that? Why do you say that? See, I am here. Yesterday, today, forever, the same, Jesus said. I am the same. I'm here. I'm here. I might not have been here yesterday the way that you see it, but I'm here today. And you know, if they could have understood, they would have known that Jesus was always there. Jesus had not left. Though he was over here in human body preaching, the same Jesus was there. Now you say, Brother Pike, but he couldn't be there. But Paul said, though I be absent in body, yet am I present with you in spirit. If Paul could be present in spirit, then could not Jesus be present in spirit? So then it wasn't a matter of whether or not the Lord was there. The Lord was there all right, but Lazarus still died. God had a plan. I may go into the islands in a day or two, but when I get over to the islands, I'll still be here in spirit. I won't leave little Bethlehem. I'll still be here. And not only will I be here in spirit, but God will give me visions and God will give me revelation and God will show me in the islands what's going on at little Bethlehem. He does every time I go away. Now, so then we that are in the spirit of God, we are but one spirit. Isn't that right? We are but one spirit, all baptized into this body, into the spirit, by the spirit of Jesus Christ. We are no more divided up as a spiritual being over here and a spiritual being over here, or as one over here and one over here. But we are all one spirit, which is Christ and the life of Christ. So then, there's a great lesson to be seen here. In this writing, or in this lesson, as we would say, Mary and Martha begins to understand something. Jesus is saying, Martha, I am here. I am here. Everything is all right. Your brother shall live. Your brother shall live. And she says to him, she said, Lord, I know my brother live. I believe in the resurrection. I believe that someday that the dead's going to get up out of the graves. Lord, I appreciate your words of consolation. Can't you just see that? Here, Mary, she feels like Jesus is more or less reaching out with his arms and put his arms around her saying, now don't cry. All is not in vain. Someday we'll all be together again. And she says, now, Lord, I know that. I believe, Lord. And she wanted to convince the Lord that she was a believer. But see, that still grieved Jesus. For Jesus more or less said, Mary, Martha, do you really believe? See, Martha, you say that you believe in the resurrection. Mary, you say you believe in the resurrection. Oh, yes, Lord, we believe in the resurrection. People of little Bethlehem, they believe in the resurrection. Oh, yes. I say now, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't fret over your loved ones because they're going to live again. And you will say, oh, yes, Brother Pike, we are convinced that they will live in the resurrection. For why not? The Bible said in the resurrection there comes both the wicked dead and the righteous dead. For Paul said, we affirm that therefore there shall be a resurrection both of the wicked and of the righteous. So all of them's going to be resurrected. But see, that wasn't what Jesus was trying to get across. He was saying, Mary, you say that you believe in the resurrection. But what is the resurrection? Where is the resurrection? When is this going to happen, Mary? You say that you believe that I'm the Christ. That's what he was saying to her. He was saying that you say that I'm the Christ. Mary said, I know that thou art the Christ. The Son of the living God. But see, that didn't fit together, did it? Here she says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I mean, can you imagine somebody saying to God Almighty that I understand that you could have kept him from dying, but now that he's dead, what can we do? We'll just have to, just have to accept things like it is. Now that was her attitude. The Lord said, roll away the stone. To prove to you that that was her attitude, he said, roll the stone away. But he said, Lord, by now he stinketh. See, after about 3 days, corruption sets in. He'd been there about 4 days. It proves that their conviction was to leave that stone on there. Lord, don't cause a stink. It's bad enough that my brother's dead. But don't disgrace us by having him roll the stone away. But Jesus said, did I not say unto thee that if thou shouldest believe that ye would see the glory of God? Amen. That's what we want to get a hold of tonight. If I can believe, if you can believe, the Bible says that all things are possible to them that believe. If I can believe, I can see the glory of God. I cannot see the glory of God unless I believe. The only way that you can see the glory of God or I can see the glory of God is to be able to believe. The only way that God can place himself on exhibit or put himself before us is to believe. It's like David Paul in his experience yesterday. What caused that reaction? It was believing. Job said, I saw a spirit go before my face. Job was a believer. He said, I couldn't make out what it was. But I know that something took place. Hallelujah. See, am I a believer? Are you a believer? If we can believe, if we would believe. But see, the terms is used, if thou canst believe. Now that's where I see the real thing in the children of God. If thou canst believe, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, the Bible said they believed. You cannot believe unless you are ordained unto eternal life. If you are ordained unto eternal life, you cannot do anything but believe. For as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed. The rest of them did not believe. Why did he say that? Because the Bible says that all men are not believers. That is, all men have not faith. Now, when I say all men have faith, yes, they have human faith. All men have human faith. They can believe with their brain. That is their intellectual reasoning. Now, they have to be able to believe that they can get up out of a chair or sit down. But I'm talking about the faith of God. All men have not this faith. Whereas God hath dealt unto every man the measure of faith. Then it says, all men have not faith. That is, all men have not the faith of Christ. But the Bible said, contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints of God. What is the faith? How can I contend for the faith? The faith cometh by the mind, which is the mind of God. And what is the mind of God? The Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word, which is God's mind. I must contend. I must study. I must pray. I must take my Bible. I must understand the Word of God, that I may have this Word of God and this promise. For how can I believe something that I've not heard? For the Bible said, how can a man believe that which he has not heard? How can he hear that he needs to hear unless he has a preacher to preach to him? Therefore, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. So then, we are taught that if thou canst believe, are you a believer? Can you believe? Can you actually believe? You say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a believer. I can believe. But can you believe? Do you actually believe? Are you a believer? If you are not the elect of God, you are not a believer. You are a make-believer. Now, you say, but I go to church. So does many make-believers. You say, but I pay my tithes. I participate in the activities of the church. So does many make-believers. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. That your believing or your intellectual reasoning will never bring the Spirit of God into your heart, nor into your life to seal you in the Holy Ghost. It will never be. Never be. I must be a God believer. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Why is it that he asks, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Because if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, there is a good possibility that you are not a child of the living God. But you say, I am a believer. But the Bible tells us that the devil is a believer. He believes there's one God. If you believe there's one God, you do well. But that doesn't bring the Holy Ghost into the devil's life. That doesn't seal the Holy Ghost from death, or seal Satan from death. You understand what I'm saying? It takes faith in God's Word. Now, I can see Satan interfering. He's interfered a number of times here tonight. I'm tired and you're tired too, but we're still going to get this message over. It takes faith in God's Word to bring the Holy Ghost into your life. God's faith. And if you don't receive the Holy Ghost, there's a good possibility that you don't have the God faith. It takes God's faith. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that is a seal of your faith. Are you listening now? If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, you have no proof that you are a believer. Because the Holy Spirit is the seal of your believing. It is the proof that you are one of them. You know, in the Old Testament, when the writing was sent out, if that king didn't stamp it with that signet, it wasn't official. It might have been something that was sent out from the kingdom, but anybody could have wrote it. The Bible said we are an epistle known and read of all men. We are sealed with the king's signet. We are official. We have the Holy Ghost. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them who believe. Why does God say all things are possible to them who believe? Why does God say that? Because a man that proves that he is a believer, he has proven that he is God's own elect, which is sonship. If he is therefore a son, that means that there is nothing that's impossible to him. Nothing impossible to him. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Pye, there's a whole lot of things impossible to you. There ain't nothing impossible to me. Say, there's a lot of things impossible to me, Brother Pike, but I'm a child of God. There's nothing impossible to you if you're a child of God. The scriptures can't be broken. They can't be altered. They can't be changed. The Bible says that all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I tried to get this over here one night, trying to explain it. When it says all things are possible to them that believe, it don't mean that there is a possibility that anything can happen because you are a believer. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. That's what the devil would like for you to think about it. That it means that because you are a believer, don't get beside yourself over it, the devil will say. But it does mean what the Bible says, the devil will say. And what does it mean? He will say, well, it means that there is a chance that something could happen. You know, you never can tell. That wasn't what God was saying at all. When God said all things are possible to them that believe, it meant that you can do all things, because you are a believer. The Bible said, through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. That's what he meant. I am a believer. All things is now possible to him that believe. Not maybe, but it means if you'll put your best foot forward, as we say, and go to God in prayer and get down to business, there will be nothing that you cannot do. Because being a believer means that you can do any and everything. For he that is a believer can do all things. That It's what Jesus is saying. All things are to you that believe. All things are to you. You have crossed over. You are in the possibility realm. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible to him that believe. Nothing. So then God said, Mary, now are you really a believer? Yes, I'm a believer. Said Martha, are you a believer? I'm a believer. Now, but why is it you talk like you do? See, why is it you complain and you say, oh my, I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my house. I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't got any work. I just don't know what I'm going to do. How can that be if you are a believer? You're believing, but what are you believing? It sounds like that you're believing that you got problems. And it sounds like that you believe in the weakness of the flesh. Or you're saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Brother, you've got to confess Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the world. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter what your bondage is. It doesn't matter what the pressures is. You've got to take that outlook. I am a son of God. And God said that he would supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That he hath given me all things that pertain unto life. Glory to God. He would supply all of my needs. What do I need? I need to breathe good. I need to think good. I need to live. Glory to God. I need to take care of my family. I need to pay my bills. I need to be above reproach. I need an automobile. I need those things that are necessitated by life to get me to and fro. All of my needs. If God's calling me into the islands, I need to go to the islands and I need the money to go on. Somebody say, I love Jesus. God will give it to me. Somebody say now, Brother Pike, don't say that too strong, because what if something happens? Then look what you're going to be, a false prophet. Ain't nothing going to happen. I am a believer. If I wait till I get the money, that's not a believer. That is a receiver. He said, I have given thee all things that pertain unto life. I want you to listen to that now. I have given thee all things that pertain unto life. How did he do that? In Jesus. I am complete in him. Whatever the lacking is, all I got to do is just say, Lord, the devil will say, now look here. Now, boy, you're in bad shape, and you've done this, and you've done that, and you didn't do this. And look at all them days you didn't do what you ought to have done. See? And you know what I do? I look back and I'll say, but the Bible said, I am complete in him. Lord, give me that because of him.
Hallelujah.
That's why it belongs to him, is because of him. I don't have salvation because of me. I haven't worked. I haven't done anything to receive salvation unless I should boast about it. But it's by faith in Christ that I have salvation. I am saved by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God. I tonight am healthy, not because I have worked my way into the presence of God. I am healthy because I believe in what God said, that by stripes I'm healed. I am able to meet my needs. I'm able to pay my bills. I'm able to do what I need to do. Why? Because I believe. Glory to God, I believe. Now then, God, the Bible said that you have given me. In Christ, you've already given it to me. You've already put it into the bank. You've already said, here's the checkbook, go write it. Use all you need of it. Not only all you need, son, but God said to me, go ahead and use it to the desires of your heart. He said, I'll give you the desires of the heart, and that ain't all. He said, use it till you ride upon the high places of the earth. And I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And that ain't all. Keep using it, he said. In what way, somebody would say. I want you to use it till you're exceedingly rich. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And I've given you the blessing of the Lord in Christ. Jesus said, Father, I prayed for these. I didn't pray for the world. But I prayed for Brother Pike, and I prayed for Brother Ron, and I prayed for Brother Gary. I didn't pray for the world, but Father, I prayed for these. Glory to God, that prayer is good enough for me. If Brother Gary told me he'd pray for me, his prayer would be good enough for me, being a son of God. But when God Almighty robed himself in a vest of human form and come down, and Jesus the Christ said, I prayed for you, George Pike, I say, glory to God, that's sufficient. That prayer will take care of me throughout eternity. Hallelujah. To know that Jesus prayed for me. Oh, how that thrills my heart. He prayed for me. Now somebody said, well, I just don't believe that. Well, if he didn't pray for you, I can't help it. See, he prayed for me. I know that. Now whether or not he prayed for you, that's between you and him. But oh, I am a believer. Mary, do you really believe? Oh, I believe, Lord. Do you really believe, Martha? I believe. I've been here with you a long time. Do you believe? Oh, yes, I believe. Said, Thomas, do you really believe? Oh, yes. Said, well, how has I been with you so long you've not known me? How is that? How is it, Thomas? Now, Elijah said to Elisha, Elisha said, I want a double portion of what you got. He said, now, if you see me as I am, if you see me when I go, what was he saying? If you see me as I am, if you can get past the veil of flesh now, and you can be there that last moment when you're going to see me just like I really am, though I've tabernacled in the body and been with you, but if you see me as I am, who shall I then say sent me? Tell them, I am sent you, Moses. For I am what I am with the grace of God, Paul said. And who is he? He is the I am. And if you can see me as the I am, if you can see me as I am, Pharaoh, if you can see me as I am, not know me after the flesh, but see me after the Spirit and know me as I am, once you get a glimpse of this great I am, something will happen to you. Your life will change. When you quit seeing me through the dirty windows of fault, you quit placing the finger of accusation on me. When you quit looking at me as a man and my mistakes and my faults and my errors, and you see me through the eyes of God, then you can have a double potion. Have I been with you, Thomas, so long and yet you have not known me? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again, Nicodemus said. Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a teacher? And you've not advanced any more than that. He said, Peter, who do these people say that I am anyway? Well, some say that you're a prophet. Some say even more than that about you. Well, Peter, what do you think about it? Oh, he said, I tell you, glory to God, I tell you what I think about it. I believe the thought that Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon Peter, no. Peter, upon every confession that comes from every lip. Gary Armstrong can confess your confession, Peter. That's the foundation of the church in the earth. George Pike can confess it. That is the foundation of God in the earth upon this confession of faith. That I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. For unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Now, do you believe, Martha? Do you believe, Mary? Oh, yes, I believe. Jesus said, but look, why do you say in the resurrection? But they said, Lord, in the resurrection he shall live again. But Jesus said, Martha, Mary, I am the resurrection. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the one that's risen from the dead. He that believeth on me, Mary, he that believeth on me, Martha, shall never die. Never die. Now, somebody said, well, you're one of them never dies. I am one of them never dies. And I'm going to dwell with them never dies. Because I don't want to dwell with them do dies. I am in the land of the living, friend. I live. Can I say just a few more words tonight, and then I'll close. I know it's hot and uncomfortable, but let me say just a few more words. There is something that is happening. What is it that is taking place? There is a mystic thing in the earth, children of God. See, we look with our eyes, and we say, Brother Pike, Brother Armstrong, Brother Walker. No, see, that isn't right. But you say that is right, Brother Pike. But it is a right. Could I have walked up to Paul of old, the great revelator of God, and say, Brother Saul, I couldn't do that. Because he wasn't Brother Saul. He was Brother Paul. Because God named him Paul. I couldn't walk up to Abraham and say, Brother Abram and Sister Sarai, because God changed their names. He changed it from Abram to Abraham. Changed it from Sarai to Sarah. I would have to say, Father Abraham, because that's what God said it was. If God said it was that way, that's the way it is. There is a mystic thing that is happening. There is a mystic thing. Jesus, why do you ask people what they think about the Son of Man? I want you to think on this a minute. Lord, why is it you always go around and say, who do men say that I am? Well, you know that you're a man. You was born of the Virgin Mary. You've carpentered, you've sawed, you've hammered, you've been. Why couldn't you say that? Everybody can see that you are a human being. You're born a human being. But see, if there wasn't something beyond the human being, if there wasn't something beyond that, if there wasn't some mystic thing, why would Jesus keep saying anything like that? See, there is a mystic thing. There is a mystic church. I know there is a Jesus, and I know there is a Jew. I know that there is a Jesus. And don't you ever let anybody tell you that anything will ever be seen with the nail prints but the Jesus. Don't ever let anybody talk you into a mind to believe that the body, literal body of Jesus, will not return into this world, because it will. Jesus, the one with the nail prints in his feet and the scars in his head from the thorns, the pierced side, Jesus. And he will come back, as the Bible says it is written of him. And every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him shall narrowly look upon him. But brothers, remember this, that Jesus that died at Calvary, that Jesus that went down the grave, Pilate said, "Behold your king." And they said, "Say not he is our king, but that he said he was our king." Pilate said, that I have written Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews." That same Jesus that you saw go from where? The Mount of Olivet. He shall so come again. Where? In like manner. Where? In the Mount of Olivet. And set his feet upon it. Coming then to who? To the Jewish people. Are you listening? Somebody would say, "But he is coming to the Gentile people." But the Bible teaches that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. "For the Lord of heaven shall descend from heaven with a shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise." How then can that be, that they who pierced him shall narrowly look upon him? There is a mystery. This Jesus, there is a natural Jesus, not a mystic Jesus, but a natural Jesus. And there is a natural nation, and there is a natural Jew that's got a natural king that's called Jesus. But brothers and sisters, that Jesus that was nailed to Calvary, that was buried, gave his life, and went off of the scene with the Jewish people, and has never been seen from that time until this as a man. Because the membership of his body, which was the Jewish people's, was laid away, driven out of the presence of God. And he stood and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Or driven me out of the presence of God. For the simple reason that when Eve went out of the presence of God, Adam had to go after her. Not because he had done any wrong. For the Bible said the man was not in the transgression, but the woman was in the transgression. That is, the spirit is not guilty, but the flesh is guilty. It is subject to the vanities of this world, not the spirit. So then he went out with her, laboring among the thorns, to give her bread. But then what about the church? Somebody would say, "Well, he went to the Jewish people and got the Jewish people, so has he gone to the church." Did he? If he did, where is he? Somebody would say, "Well, he's here." Well, where? What it is? It's like Paul said, it so pleased God that Christ should be revealed in my life, and that in my life you have received me as the Lord himself. For it is not me speaking, but the Lord to live is Christ. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. And it pleased God to manifest Christ in my life, which was the revelation that Paul had. Now, did Jesus go to them? He certainly did, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But where is that Jesus? He's still here, just like he was then. There is a mystic church. There is a mystic God. Just like there was a natural God to the Jews and a natural church in the wilderness, there is a Christ just like there's a Jesus. And that's why the veil was rent in twain, and he made in himself twain, Lord and Christ. And God separated the Lord from the Christ, which was the rending of the veil. That Christ may go to the Gentile people. And that mystic Christ cannot be seen with the natural eye. Might bring about a mystic church and a mystic people and do a mystic thing that could not be seen, and yet great and mighty things are happening in heaven. In that mystic world, great things are happening here tonight, but only they that have eyes to see can see. There are angels encamped round about us tonight. The Lord himself is here tonight. For we are gathered in his name and he is in our midst. But the veil of the Old Testament that Paul spoke of, it's still over the minds of the people, untaken away even to this day. That veil of what? That veil of your own understanding. That veil of human reasoning. That veil of the wilderness wandering that come from the tree of knowledge. That veil of your own thinking. That veil of heresy and fault-finding and jealousy and resentment. That veil of darkness, God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. For gross darkness is over the minds of the people. For that intellectual veil that you have covered with is a covering. For he said, thou hast covered with a covering, but not of God. I've got a covering tonight. And what is that covering? When Eve lost the covering, when Adam lost the covering, and God said, where art thou, Adam and Eve? And they said, we are without a covering, Lord. And we were afraid. So we made ourselves a covering. And God said, a fig leaves, thou covers with a covering, but not the Shekinah that I covered you with. And now you feel guilty. And now you feel dirty. And now you feel under condemnation. But the covering that I gave you, Adam, you didn't feel under condemnation. Who told thee that thou was uncovered? The same one that uncovered them, that polluted their minds. The veil is still there, and you're covering with a covering, but not of God. You've got a covering, but it's not of God, and you hide yourself from his presence when he comes around. Because your covering is not of God. Why? Because you do not believe. You do not believe. You not, do not believe. For he purifies our heart by faith. He brings that spirit in by faith. That Shekinah glory of God that becomes interwoven with my inner spirit, my inner man, my inner being that covers me and seals my inner man from iniquity. The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself. And the evil one toucheth him not. Never from the time he's born into this world until the time he dies is he ever touched one time by Satan. Never. He is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And someday God is coming back after that church is without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Having been justified by his Spirit, by faith in God, in that he was before the world ever was, and I am him before the world ever was, and I am him after the world ceased to be. Therefore I was, I am, forever shall be. And I was without spot, I am without spot, I forever shall be without spot. For it is not I, but he, the Lamb without spot, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh, the church of the living God. I cover with a covering, and what kind of covering? The covering that he gave me at Calvary, his own body.
not the veil of iniquity in which Satan works, that separates me from seeing those angels that are round about me and that light that's around about me, and to see your spirits and to see that heavenly world. But I cover with his covering. For the Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have put him on. It is no longer I that live. For I, as a man, am dead and buried with him in baptism. Today I'm resurrected from the dead, and it is he that liveth. For to live is Christ, to die is gain. So then, I have a covering. I have a covering. That holy covering that God hath accepted. That God hath accepted. Do you believe, Mary? I believe. Do you believe? I believe. My brother shall live again. Live? Yes, live, Lord. I know he shall live. But when, Martha? When, Mary? In the resurrection. Jesus said, he's here. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. Blessed and holy is he, for I am the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that is in this resurrection, which is passed from death unto life, having been chosen out of this world, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And they that are in heaven are equal to the angels and cannot die. For the first man, Adam, was of the dust, but I am of the Spirit. The disgust of God, can't you see? The disappointment of God, just for a few more minutes. Can't you see? When God said, Adam, what have you done? And Adam told him, and he said, Adam, oh Adam, now I want you to hear what the Lord says. Adam, oh Adam, don't you know God was, as we would say, excited, and God was hurt because his child, his babe, was fixing to be taken out of his arms and being separated and going to darkness to who knows where. And he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? And then he says, when finally Adam understood, God said, Adam, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Don't you know that was a disgusting thing? Don't you know that was a disturbing thing? God said, Adam, I've taken you from the dust, put you in the presence of eternal existence, and you would have lived forever and existed forever. But you've lost your covering and turned away from eternal life. To the dust, you have to go back to the dust, Adam. You've lost out in eternal life. You go back to the elements of the ground from which I've taken thee. Oh, how awful, Adam. How awful that you would die, that you would lose what I've handed you and go back to the dust from which I got you. From the dust thou came, to the dust thou shalt return. Don't you know that hurt God to know that his creation had to return to the dust? But he lost the covering. Folks, that's where you're at tonight. That's where you're at tonight. There are so many things I would like to say tonight. That's why Paul preached all night. Because he was just getting started at the length of time that I've had now. And the people said, my God, my God. We've got to hear it. We've got to know it. If you spent 3.5 years getting it, not only that, but the rest of your life before that, and you'll share it with us. We've got to get it. We've got to have it. Don't quit. Don't leave. That's where you're at tonight. The veil of death has separated between you and your God. The veil of iniquity. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. Mother, do you believe? I believe in the resurrection. Jesus said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in that first resurrection. And with this, I'm going to try to close. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. Blessed and holy art thou that are a member of my body, for I am the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath been baptized into the membership of this body, that hath part in my body. For all of the law and the prophets till John, but the least one of my members is greater than John. For John is in the earth, but ye are in heaven. For the Son of Man is in heaven, and ye are part of the Son of Man. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this resurrection, that can eat up my flesh and drink of my blood, that you may have life in you. Blessed and holy are you that are a member of my body, for the second death, which is the lake of fire, the wrath of God, that which will destroy the soul of humanity, hath no power over you. The wrath of God hath no power over you. The lake of fire hath no power over you. You can never go into the lake of fire. It is over with you. It is ended with you. There is no death to you. You cannot die. Martha, do you believe? Mary, do you believe? If you believe, then hear what I say. For I said to the disciples, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not unto death. For blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. He cannot have a sickness unto death. And here he said, roll away the stone. Jacob took the stone from off of the mouth of the well, and they could water the herds. Roll away the stone. I'll take out of you the heart of stone that's over the mouth of the well. For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, and ye are the wells of God unto salvation, and with joy out of these wells ye shall drink. For I have rolled away the stone. Roll away the stone. Get the stone out of the way. And I will place within you a heart of my flesh. I will place within you a heart of flesh. But you are of the elements of the ground. You are of the dust. You are nothing but a stone. For the elements of the earth form a stone. You are nothing but a stone. Like a man that I knew, he was turning to stone. The doctors examined him. They couldn't understand it. He was turning to stone. Roll away the stone. Do you believe? Have you got part in the first resurrection? If you are a believer, you do. There is no death to you. Then what about Lazarus? He sleepeth. I go to awake him. I go to awake him. I saw a little sign today that said the dawning of the dawn of the dead. See, I go to awake him. Can I awake you tonight? And it shall come to pass that whosoever heareth his voice shall live, and even the dead shall hear his voice and live. If thou canst believe, having ears ye hear not. But if thou canst believe, I believe. Mary, Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. You know, saying this in closing, don't you know that after Jesus was crucified, a man just like I'm a man, but he died. Yet he walked and went into glory, stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, was in heaven, came back down, appeared in glory, talked to Nicodemus, but he was still a man. He was still a man. Have you been into heaven? Paul said, I knew such a one that was caught up into paradise. Have you? And yet they're going to nail you to a tree. You can still die. You can still bleed. And yet you was in the same place Elijah and Moses was. And the Bible said, and those prophets will come back. Their bodies will lay in the streets. Fill of me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see this resurrected one with. Praise God.
Can it be? Can it actually be? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And he that believeth in me, he shall never see death. He is passed from death unto life. Can it be that some actually will not die? Can it be that such a thing is, that there really is a knowledge of God, an understanding of God that is to be revealed, that a human being actually will not die? There is such a thing. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am. If there be a mystic church, then there is a mystic Christ. If there is a natural church, then there is a natural Jesus. Something is taking place, beloved friend. It's been taking place. It's still taking place. And right at this time, in the greatest moment of all times. I want you to stand with me. Now, as of late, we've had a few lengthy sermons. Usually I don't preach very long. But we've had a few lengthy sermons. Not lengthy, really, compared to some ministers. You can tell that by the time that you get out of church. Not real lengthy services. But I've tried to get over a few things to get your eyes open, to get you to think, to get you to hunger, to get you to thirst. Brethren, if there's no hunger, if there's no thirst, if there's not something drawing and something on the inside saying, my God, I got to get there, I got to get there, I got to get that, I got to get more of it, it means you didn't see it. It means you didn't hear it. It means it never came to you. It means you're still in your natural man. But he that hungers and thirsts shall be filled. And there is those that have the hunger and the thirst because God put it there. And they literally hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible said they shall be filled. And to be filled is to escape death. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's sing a little chorus together. You know, in preaching, I try to take my time. Because I like to get a mic. I like to get a cord on the end of it. And I like to just get away from this sacred desk and get out there and move. I feel so good when I'm just moving, always moving when I'm preaching. But to get it on tape and to try to get it into your minds, I take my time and I try to say it carefully, slow, very distinct, that you may get it and those on tape may also understand. That a fire may be kindled not only at Bethlehem, but around the world with the revelation of Jesus Christ. That the church may be, as we say, raptured and taken out into that great, wonderful beyond that many people wonder about, that don't understand. Let's sing this little song together, can we? I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. I want thee, Lord. I want thee every hour. I want thee now, Oh, how I want thee. Sing it like this then. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful tonight that I can say with Paul of old, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. And Holy Father, tonight, in the name of your lovely Son, the resurrection, send forth your Spirit into our hearts, crying, Our Father, for thou art the resurrection. Holy Father, to know tonight that I am in the resurrection, and with thee I can say I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. For I am bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. For me and my Father are one. Holy Father, look down from out of heaven. Look down from out of heaven. For thou hast said, O Bethlehem of Judea, thou art not the least among the cities of Israel. For out of thee shall come forth the governor, and he shall rule my people, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And to the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. Father, for thou hast said, as the stars are in multitude, innumerable, O Abraham, so shall thy seed be, even as the sands that are by the seashore, innumerable shall they be. O Ramandramashai. For thou, O righteous Son of God, thou shalt turn many to righteousness. For thou art the day spring from on high that hath visited thy people. And to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, great light is spring up unto them. For thou art the day spring from on high. O God, O great and mighty God of the present, God that is here tonight, God that is in the midst of thy people, for thou hast said in the holy scriptures, even as I have covenanted with you, so my spirit remaineth among you. The Christ is among us tonight, resurrected from the dead. Father, stretch out a healing hand tonight.
and heal in the name of Jesus and make well and resurrect from the dead tonight. Save tonight and forgive tonight. Grant it, Jesus. Oh, grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus.